Ladies and gentlemen, your attention, please. Good evening, and welcome to this entertaining round of golf conversation on 1500 ESPN. Next on the tee, this is the 603 pairing from Bloomington, Joe Stansberry. And from Minneapolis, Craig Tyken.
Welcome aboard, everybody. Another hour of golf conversation, and thank God we had the Masters this weekend. Just so you know, I read in the paper today that it was the coldest first week of April since 1872 in this nape of the nake, so we will not be playing golf anytime soon, so you might as well talk about golf and watch golf like we did with the Masters. And Stansberry, where are you at right now? You're on your way back from Florida. For some reason, I don't know why you're coming.
Huntsville, Alabama.
The Hall of Fame?
No, Huntsville, Alabama.
Huntsville, Alabama. You got friends there? You got a couch for you there? Or?
I have a very good friend, yes, an old high school friend, Jimmy Kaplan. He's originally from Highland Park and then transferred to Jefferson my senior year, and we've been lifelong friends ever since.
So when does Minneapolis get you back?
You know, if I had to tell you, I'd have to shoot you.
That's true.
I'm meandering my way. I had a little car issue on my way back, so I was actually planning on being there for the show. So.
Joe, Huntsville, Alabama, that's kind of a hockey town now, isn't it? Because they got a Division I hockey team down there now, the Alabama Huntsville.
And they won the NCAA about 8 years ago out of nowhere. So, yeah, you're right, Manny. Very good. Who would have thunk you'd have known that?
Well, because I'm a nerd, that's why.
Yeah, that's right. Huntsville, hey, Alabama.
Manny, I resemble that comment.
Okay, so what were your favorite couple takeaways from the Masters, Joe?
Was there a Masters tournament?
Yeah, there was a Masters tournament. It's located in Georgia, I do believe.
Yeah. From a visual standpoint, I'm just glad that we didn't have to have 50% coverage of Tiger. I thought the coverage was excellent from that standpoint. At least that we had somebody to have to make a three-footer to win the tournament, and when it looked like Mr. Reed was going to walk away with it in the ebbs and flows, and you got to take your hat off to him because, you know, there were people... You know, it was like a boxing match, right? He knows that he's coming down the stretch. All he's just got to do is not have a knockout, and all of a sudden he gets knocked out in the eighth round in the 10-round boxing match. And it's like, what row? And what does he do? He just boxes his way out of the corner and makes a couple putts. I think the key shot of the whole tournament, and he was obviously pouring him in, was when he hit the pin on 17 on that putt. If he doesn't hit that pin, that puck could have gone off the green. He could have been chipping back.
Yeah, on 13 when it stuck up on the bank, just like it did for Fred Couples, not as severe. But, hats off to Patrick Reed and tremendous round from Jordan Spieth. I don't know. The star to me is always the golf course. Every time you get to watch it, for so many reasons, you know, the width of the holes and the cutting back of the pine trees in the pine straw. So if you hit it, you hit it really crooked, you can go find it and you can be like Phil and whiff.
Yeah, they missed one tree on 18 for Jordan.
I think they might call that the Spieth limb.
I almost, you know, because I think there's four trees, and maybe five. They're all tall ponderosa pines or jack pines. And I got a feeling next year that tree won't exist because a lot of the players complain now because they moved that tee box back some 50 yards from when Tom Lehman played and hit 3-wood off the tee and knocked it into the bunker. Now these guys are, most of them are hitting driver and not even getting there. So, I got a feeling that just shoot from way back there is just, you know, it's just too tight. So they may have that tree cut down and call it the Jordan Spieth rule.
Yeah, they could put a plaque up like they do for when people die around here with trees.
Well, which we love. If they knew how we felt about trees, right?
Right, exactly. One of my favorite things is that if you go to masters.com now, you can watch, you know, a lot of the tournament before it comes on broadcast TV. And then you don't even have to have ESPN or cable anymore because they have the live broadcast on the website. Well,
I won't claim that I was driving and watching it. I may or may not have been.
Right. We don't do that. We're very safe here.
Well, it's just on my phone, and it's, you know, I mean, I was listening to it more than watching it. But there was a mass exodus from Florida, not far from the palatial estate of Mr. Patrick Bricey.
That's right.
And, you know, down at his palatial estate. And so it was just like bumper to bumper. It was only going like 40 miles an hour. So
I just saw Patrick walk out of here. He's got a better tan than Ricky Fowler's girlfriend.
How could you tell behind that hat?
That's true. That's a big hat.
My favorite. She's ready for the Derby. Memory. Yeah, it's still, you know, she's not. But that's still my favorite memory from the Ryder Cup when they did the girlfriends and wives pictures. And he was, you know, single. He just stood there in the middle with that face. So it didn't take him long to find a cute one. I can't imagine why.
Yeah, who knows? What a great performance. You know, he was my pick. How did you do on your picks? Did you go online and do the ESPN 1500 fantasy? It was my first fantasy experience.
I really don't want to talk about that with you right now on the radio, but I tried, and it said I needed to have my cookies, and I didn't know how to do cookies, so I go, all right, what the heck? But we have to include that in our website, the Tee Times website, so because I think my pick was Jordan Spieth.
Well, so you almost got there.
I beat you.
and back to the, you know, the Masters website, they have the featured groups.
Yeah, that's what I was watching.
Which is great because you can really, you take the featured group, especially on a Thursday morning or Friday morning before the network is on, and you can really get a feel for the flow of a round rather than just zigzagging back and forth from, you know, 10 different groups just showing highlights of putts being nailed. It's great that you can watch more golf. And then yesterday, before the broadcast came on, instead of watching the Jim Nance tearjerker with Freddie Couples, which I caught it was great because Nance asked him, "Do you dream at night of winning the Masters again?" And Freddie's like, "Nah, I don't really dream, but when I do dream, it's usually about snakes. And it's not good." He's like, "Well, I don't wake up thinking about the Masters."
You know? Well, the odd thing is, I met both Jim Nance and Freddie Couples and the boys because I went to San Jacinto Junior College in Houston, and we played against the Houston feeder program, which was at Wharton, which included Ed Fiore, Phil Blackmar, Robert Thompson, Brad Fable, you know, there's David Ishii, who played for Houston. And so if you, you know, weren't good enough to make Dave Williams' school, he sent you to, or make the team at Houston, then he sent you to Wharton Junior College, and then we played against them. So here I was, just this little, you know, Minnesota guy with a strong grip and couldn't even make the team and ended up whipping up on the boys. I won the conference 2 years in a row, but I remember going over to a few of the Houston parties with the boys and
golf party. That's exciting.
Freddie was a freshman, came in from Washington, and Jim Nance, and I think you were the one that told me about in the story that that Jim Nance practiced handing Fred Couples the Masters trophy. Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah, that had to be an exciting party. those guys are crazy, you know, getting together and working on their presentations.
Things I can tell you, I could blackmail them, but no, I won't. They were actually pretty typical college parties. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah, exciting, very exciting. You know, a lot of people are frustrated with the weather here, and I got a couple ideas when we come back on the other side. You're listening to Tee Time on 1500 ESPN at our new time, 6 o'clock to 7 o'clock on Monday evenings. I'm Craig Teichen with Joe Stansberry. We will be right back.
Saving money on your entire roofing project now at Menards. Protect your home for years to come with Owens Corning Architectural Shingles. They offer long-lasting performance while providing ultimate protection with a 130 miles per hour wind rating and limited lifetime warranty. Choose from over 50 options of Owens Corning shingles in-store and on Menards.com. And check out more of our great deals going on now. Save big money at
Menards. You're listening to Tea Time with Joe Stansberry and Craig Tykin.
He's about 455 yards away. He's going to hit about a 2-iron, I think.
On 1500 ESPN.
Welcome back to Tea Time. Down in Huntsville, Alabama, is my co-host Joe Stansberry making his way back up north. Now, people are
Robert Trent Jones Trail. I was out. I went out. My invention, my heated seat cover. So I met with the guys out there today, and that went well. So then I chipped, and I was watching. You know, Mickelson. Arguably the best chipper in the history of the game, right?
Top five.
Well, yeah. And Tiger, when he's on, you know, he did have his little
episode.
Yeah. I mean, but when he was interviewed about it, he goes, well, people don't understand about, because they said, well, he must be able to work on his short game. Well, you know, I've had bad backs. The hardest part of the short game practice is bending over, so he couldn't practice his chipping and putting. So, I was working on my chipping today. So I know that's a highlight of your.
You've been having some troubles. What's been giving you trouble?
I've been putting myself purposely into those really tight into the grain lies that you get on Bermudas and southern grasses versus, you know, Minnesota. You don't see that. I was trying something new. Mickelson really has his hands forward pressed, and not unlike Gary Player, his weight is all forward, you know, either up. So I was trying that today. I still had a couple of, you know, chunks and a couple of skulls, but it was bottoming out better. So it's just a matter of getting comfortable when you haven't played competitively for 2 or 3 years. It's difficult, even when you're just trying to put pressure on yourself to chip. So
down there in the Robert Trent Jones, the story I want to get into, if people need to get out of here to go play golf, my suggestion is to go where I just went 2 weeks ago, fortunate enough to go down, once again, the Kansas City area. And Kansas City's fantastic because you can get there from the metro in 6.5 hours, 7 hours. You can stay right downtown. There's a part of, well, it's not really downtown, but it's called the Country Club Plaza area.
Yeah, Mission Hills.
You can park your car. And not have to drive. Fantastic restaurants, unbelievable barbecue. The whole works. You can just walk around. But then the courses that you get to play down there, that market is so built up with golf courses that through the downturn that we had a number of years ago in golf, that was overbuilt like it was here, a bunch of, Greg Norman courses in the outlining areas and stuff like that. And so now the prices have really gone down there, and it's very competitive online. You go online, and I was able to play the classic course that I like is Swope Memorial, which is a Tillinghast course that used to have the Kansas City Open at it. What do you think we paid to play the Tillinghast, legendary Tillinghast course in Kansas City? $25 for the cart.
I was going to say 46. So.
No, $25.
So, yeah, but you know people. You got connections.
No, that's online. You know, so when you go online to their website, it's great. It pops up and they have the discounted tee times that you can grab online only, and boom, you're paid for, and $25 a person with a cart at a legendary course. And then there's a mile from there is a Donald Ross course that used to be private called Hillcrest. We played that we played that for $19. That course opens up with a 240-yard downhill, straight downhill off the hill, par three. Kind of interesting. It's wide open, so it's not, overly punishing. You're not going over a ravine or something, but great course. And then the last one of the last courses we played down there is a modern course just outside of town. Perfect condition, Shoal Creek, which is rated number 2 in Missouri of public courses that you can play. And that was $40. You know, good condition, great weather. I mean, you can get, they were down to 17. Everybody's been cold. This weather streak is, you know, historic. But if you're looking for a place to get out of town and just boogie down the highway, down Highway 35, stay on one road, go through Des Moines, go down to Kansas City. I love it down there. It's a great spot.
Yeah, and, yeah, they've got great courses. You know, I've played quite a bit down there. We used to, the U.S. Open qualifier, if you made it through the Minnesota section, then you were, then you had to choose between Chicago and Kansas City. And which always seemed odd to me because it basically was run by the USGA. But, you know, we were hosting the U.S. Open, the U.S. Mid-Am, and so I wrote a letter to the USGA. I go, hey, why do we have to always travel? We have more players coming out of here. That was when Lehman Harris, Cam Beckman, blah, 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 Timmy Heron, that were out there playing. And I'm going, why can't we host it? And so the 2 years later, we ended up hosting a regional or a sectional, local and a sectional at Hazeltine. But I don't think we've hosted it since. And it always seemed, you know, it's an advantage for the local players because they would know the golf courses. Imagine if the Chicago guys had to come up here and play, say, even Bunker or, you know, Minicata. And those were the types of golf courses. You don't have to go play a Hazeltine, per se. But then I played Wolf Creek. I tried to get you on there. That's an all-men's club down there. I don't think there's many of those that still exist.
They don't let me into those places.
Well, they do a pat-down check on you. Your man boobs took you.
Yeah.
What's the prognostication? We got 2 weeks?
At least 2 weeks till we're open anywhere here. Because the frost is so deep and like the weather is so cold. I mean, we were lucky last week that we did get that snow because there could have been some turf damage if it would have been that cold with just kind of ice on it. But we got that nice, you know, last Tuesday, Monday and Tuesday, we got that solid 9 inches of snow. It's brutal. Yeah, May 1st.
Yeah, I heard my mom said that the ground, though, is, you know, because it's good. It's, you know, the grass is going to be good. So when it does, it all it takes is a good west wind, you know, get one of those good 35-mile-an-hour days. It'll melt off and dry out fast. So
yeah, we're supposed to, the rains. Rain is, you know, key, and we're supposed to get some rain on Friday. But we're still, you know, 2 weeks out with my high school golf team right now. We're just we're in a holding pattern. We can't really do much at all. I don't really recommend hitting off mats a bunch right now, because I think if you do a lot of mat work close to when you're going out to the grass, it's kind of a hard transition.
I agree. Yeah. Because you end up chunking it because you're used to it bouncing.
Yeah. So it's, you know, we could go to the dome a bunch, and it's, I don't know.
Changed the Minnesota, you know, the big schedule has been changed this year. I don't know if we talked about this, but the Minnesota Golf Champions, which is almost always the very first event, used to be called the Minnesota Masters, is now has been moved to the fall, which it's just lucky this year. I don't know if they did it on purpose. I know we're going to have somebody on from the Minnesota PGA later, maybe week 3, mm-hmm. Talking about the schedule. But I know the U.S. Open qualifier is only 2 weeks away, 2.5 weeks away. So I don't know if they'll even be. I know it's crazy.
Yeah, well.
It's always Mother's Day.
Yeah,
it's, you know, So,
well, it's historic, and like I said last week, April's always crappy anyway, even when it's nice. So
right.
Just deal with it, move on with your days, and watch the Masters like we did.
So maybe this will force the state high school league, because I've always been a huge proponent of moving the state high school season to the fall.
Well, yeah, that's a no-brainer, but to get those people to do anything over there is almost impossible. We can't even get them to put it on a decent golf course. Understand the game.
Come on, you should run.
Oh yeah, I'm gonna run for that. No,
is Steed still the man? Or did
no,
he
he's out. So there is some progress being made, but yeah, it should definitely be in the fall. That's a no brainer. So you could have your game going, and you could get your big tournaments in August, because you start the fall sports in the middle of August, and then you could have the season over with in the 1st of October and get way more golf in. That's when the courses are more available. They're in good shape. People could have their games together. Yeah, like us for right now, our first competitive round is probably going to be our conference 18 hole tournament. So we're just going to go racing right out there into 18 holes of competitive play to see who's all conference and conference champions and stuff like that. So
The other thing is, especially from the good players, that their opportunities to show how good they are, they have to go play the AGA type stuff and other things instead of, the high school events, because they're just so late.
Yeah, that's true. Well, hopefully someday.
Signed their letter of intent, so.
Yeah, it would be helpful if it got moved to the fall, and then I wouldn't have to coach soccer anymore. But that's another story. When we come back, we got Bob from Save Hiawatha. We get to get an update on what the park board is coming up with now. There's some goofy stuff going on, and Bob is going to fill us in on the state of Hiawatha, which we covered a bunch last year. So that will be when we return. You're listening to Tea Time on 1500 ESPN.
It's tea time.
Why don't you improve your lie a little, sir?
Yes, winter rules.
Oh, yeah. On 1500 ESPN.
Welcome back to Tea Time. We need to get an update on the situation with the Minneapolis Park Board and just Joe Stansbury and myself, one of our favorite golf courses, Hiawatha. And to do that, we have Bob with us. And Bob is with Save Hiawatha Golf. And, okay, so what's the update here? At the end of last year, we ended up with a five-year window of trying to come up with the plan. The course is not going to be closed this year or the next. Where are we at right now, Bob?
Well, we're still within that five-year plan. However, there are different mechanisms going on in the background that could certainly cause that to go away. The biggest thing that we found out through our hearings over at the state capitol was that the DNR was by no means in any hurry to close this golf course, which was one of the reasons given to everybody why it needed to close. In fact, a lot of the issues around this is about how much water is being pumped and what the permit is that's been issued to the golf course to pump water. I think we're allowed 38.5 million gallons through the appropriation from the DNR. And that's to irrigate the golf course. However, what's going on there is what's called dewatering, which is completely a different set of rules and something that the DNR said that they would permit for. So it's really the ball is in the court of the park board, which having a lot of new commissioners now, they're a little more receptive to what's being said. However, we're being delayed by things that were put in place by the former board, in particular this community advisory committee, this CAC that they created, that's kind of a non-starter, if you know what I mean. I'll explain.
Yeah, explain that.
Well, the CAC basically is a committee of folks that were put into place to look at other uses of the property. And that was after the fact that we had determined that, A, there was no need to have other uses for that property because its existing use was fine. In fact, part of what they call the CAC charge, what they told the CAC they could do, was to perpetuate the continued use and golf on that property. But because of amendments that were put in place, we're kind of stuck between a rock and a hard place. They said you can talk about it, but you really can't act on it based on the resolutions that were passed by the park board. And it's really confusing. It's governmental mishmash. The bottom line is they won't talk about other uses for that property unless you change the use of it. And there's really no other uses for that property because the topography of it isn't going to change. It's still going to be a floodplain, and all these millions of dollars they want to spend, they can't build anything on that property.
Right, because they legally can't bring any more, you know, material into the area, right?
Absolutely. I mean, it's listed as a floodplain by FEMA, and it's in their 100-year flood plan. Nothing has ever been said about filling in anywhere at any point in time. So basically what you're talking about is spending anywhere from $27 million to $40 million to make it a nature center, to take down a fence, and they're going to flood the golf course, which is really going to use up probably half of the acreage. It's 146 acres for the golf course.
Mm-hmm.
Half of that's going to be flooded. So really what you're left with, trying to do all these things and make it all things to all people, is probably about half that acreage. It's a lot of money for something that sounds great in your head because somebody else is paying for it. It makes no sense whatsoever.
All right. So
the politics involved are the DNR has basically thrown up their hands, said, it's up to you guys. We're not against the golf course. You've passed all of the litmus tests to keep it a golf course, except that we do have to have some pumping issues rectified. Is that correct?
That's correct. The DNR basically at the hearings put on by Senator Torres raised at last fall basically said we never ever weighed in to say what they had to do. We didn't prefer one plan or the other. And when it was asked, the question was specifically asked of them, would you allow a dewatering permit to fulfill, to get rid of the water? Because the water is only there because the watershed is allowing all this water to come down the creek, and the city of Minneapolis is dumping 66 million more gallons onto the property. So there's a reason why this water is there. And there's a way to get rid of it that doesn't cost anybody anything other than a pump.
Right, and that was from the sewer system that they upgraded back when Garrett Gill redesigned the golf course 15 years ago or whatever, correct?
That was part of it. In 2012, the city of Minneapolis was told by the Pig's Eye sewage plant that they can no longer send their stormwater to them because it's very costly to process something that's not sewer. So at that point, a deal was made with the Minneapolis Park and Rec Board to vent the water through the golf course and use the gravity system and allow it to go into the lake. And those are not good things because it saves a ton of money. However, you can't allow somebody to do something, no impact statements were done, and then come back years later and say, oh, by the way, you're pumping too much water. They should have known how much water we were going to be pumping. It's a lot of near surface and very high table groundwater that isn't pumping at all. 146 million gallons of this water is just coming from the lake, going into the land, going back to the lake.
So it's just recirculating the water. We're on with Bob.
It's recirculating. Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, the logic of this is just defies common sense when people start spending other people's money, in this case, the taxpayers' money.
So where do we go from, okay, what's the next step in this, in their process of thinking with this CAC, as you call it? And what do we do? What can people do?
Well, it's a very good question. A presentation was made to the board, Minneapolis Park Board, last Wednesday by one of the CAC members, Catherine Kelly, who basically told them that they had to take a look at how they had written the charge and undo that to allow them to talk about the perpetuation of golf. It makes all the sense in the world, and they're looking at that part from a political standpoint now. But as this CAC goes through and starts examining the dollars, what they should be able to see is that golf is a very profitable enterprise for the city of Minneapolis, and municipal golf is certainly part of the park and recreation name. So a lot of this is just continue to beat the drum, get word out, and let people know it's not settled, but at the same time, you have to be very vigilant when it comes to tax dollars. People want to spend them because it's not their money, and they think everything's a good idea, even though it's kind of like this. It doesn't make a lot of sense, guys.
Well, to spend $26 or $27 million to flood it that has no revenue, doesn't make, first of all right, well, fine, if you want to do it one time. But Hiawatha historically has always made money unless you had issues like we had with flooding. And they were taking out average about $1 million and using it for other things in the city. And when that was taken away, all of a sudden they go, wait a minute, golf's on the way out. Well, no, they hadn't pumped the money back into Hiawatha. And you had a perfect storm, so to speak, where the golf course was flooded, and they decided because of a number of events, including the watershed district, the DNR, and then you had to deal with the park board. So, you know, where do you think it's going to happen here as we go forward then, or what's the next step for the public that want to support Hiawatha maintaining being a golf course?
Okay, I think those financial points you brought up are absolutely correct. Since 1998, they've been pulling money away from golf and not reinvesting in golf. And lo and behold, they're surprised when they can't make their product sell to anyone because they've let it fall into disrepair. So at this point, what we're doing and what I'm doing, our group is doing, we're looking at the finances of golf. And one of the nice tidbits we found out just recently is the way the park board gets its money is 76%, 75% comes from tax dollars, general fund money. 13% comes from enterprise or golf concessions, those kind of things. Well, golf has contributed heartily to that, but they got rid of the winter operations, ice rinks, and they gave it to a foundation called the Lopet Foundation. Sounds like they're good people. However, part of the deal was that they had to build them a new building and change a couple of the fairways over at Theodore Wirth. That's going to come out to be $1 million. What they did was they charged that $1 million to golf. So they're, in essence, doing the same thing. They're charging that money to golf, even though none of the revenues that the Lopet's going to give back to the park board is going to be put into the golf coffers. So it's really one of the things that we have to do is to start looking at what's happening in that golf department, what's happening with municipal golf in the city of Minneapolis.
Well, that's great. But I'm so glad that you're doing this work and all the people are helping you, because we've got it. You know, it was close to being closed a year ago and they were going to run this thing through, and people stood up and said, no, let's look at this. And now we've learned all kinds of things so we could fight back as golfers and as people that would love that green space in South Minneapolis and what golf gives for the high schools and children and old people. It's just wonderful. And we got to work to save it, and the work you're doing, Bob, is great. So thank you very much.
So the website, Facebook, it's Save Hiawatha, and you have a website too?
Yeah, a website, SaveHiawatha18.com. We're putting updates on there, what the things we're finding. Please go in and read it. Somehow it's fallen into a state where people think that we're actually a bunch of rowdy golfers with nothing better to do. And it's a bunch of homeowners. It's everybody who's concerned about changing something. You're trying to fix something that's not broken.
Absolutely. So look into that, people. Keep it up. We'll keep you updated on this show. And, Bob, now you have to go on vacation for a month. What's happening?
Yeah, I'm going to take off here on Friday for a nice vacation to Hawaii, and I'm going to enjoy myself for a bit.
So you got to go to Hawaii. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I got my arm twisted on that one.
All right. Well, you take care and don't relax too hard.
Well, thanks, guys. Really appreciate your time.
Yeah, and we'll have you on again soon. So give us a call when you get back.
Okay, I will. Thank you.
That's great. Bye, Bob. All right, well, that's good. Good update from there. It sounds like we're going to make progress on that. People are sticking together, and we'll be able to retain our Hiawatha and not lose it. What do you think, Joe?
Well, I just hope not only they retain it, but that they recognize that it's a jewel that needs to be polished, not unlike what they're doing. And we'll get into that, I think, later. But we were talking about Brookview,
yep,
what they're doing, and the Braemar, what they're doing. You know, so you're pumping money into something that's going to make you money. It makes sense.
Absolutely. Hey, when we return, a little bit more Masters talk. I got a couple thoughts on other things that happened that week in Augusta, Georgia. You are listening to Tee Time on 1500 ESPN.
Tee Time.
Good rush for playing golf today.
On 1500 ESPN.
Ooh.
Welcome back to Tea Time. I'm Craig Tyken with Joe Stansberry. Joe Stansberry in Huntsville, Alabama, making his way back from Naples. I told you you should have just stayed down there. But
Yeah. Well, but, you know, you got to make hay when the sun shines.
That's okay, I guess. So a couple thoughts. We got 5 minutes to wrap up, 4 minutes to wrap up our thoughts on the Masters. We'll go tit for tat. I got a couple. The par three contest, did you get to see that?
I saw parts of it, yes.
That's one of my favorite things, you know, with Tom Watson at the age of 68 winning it. And you got to remember, there's a lot of pros out there playing it. They're trying to win it, too. And,
right.
And Gary Player took, like, third place. And they all look wonderful swinging the club. They all look the same.
It shows you that, you know, as you get older, the best things you can do is still your iron. You may not be able to bomb it out there with Rory and Dustin and, you know, even Jordan moves it out there. But, I love that. I love the, you know, skipping the shots across the water, too.
Yeah, that's fun. I like it when they have fun. And then making fun of the Golf Channel, which is a regular feature for me, when Tiger and Phil went out and played a practice nine holes together, and oh, Tiger and Phil are friends. Oh my, they just, you know, they all just, oh, going nuts on the golf. Can you believe it? They're playing a practice round together. It's like, oh God.
Well, you know, I think friendships in golf in particular is one of those things, especially when you're competitive. I've always been very spunky, I think would be a term. So I'm on the golf course, hey, I'm out there to beat you. I'm not there to be your friend. And Tiger has that attitude. He has had that attitude. I remember asking Mikey Christensen when he was caddying for Kevin Streelman, you know, what's Tiger like now? Because I hadn't seen him play for since the Western Am when I beat him. But you know, but he said he's just all businesslike on the first tee, and he said five words the whole time, does that make you a bad guy?
No,
that you're out there. It's competition. It's, you know, so and sometimes it gets heated, and you can be friends after the fact. So, but yeah, I agree with that. I thought it was a unique pairing. I never would have thought it.
Yeah. They work together on the teams and the Ryder Cup and the President's Cup and all those years down the line. And so, and who cares if they're friends or if they're not friends? I really don't care.
Yeah, I thought the most unique thing out of the whole tournament, though, was, you know, it was kind of like polite applause that Patrick Reed won. He's not very well liked in Georgia.
No, he got kicked off the Georgia team.
Yeah, and I know the reason, and I won't disclose, but let's just say he didn't get along with a lot of the players for, you know, for some of the things he did. And then he really wasn't that well-liked at Augusta State, even though they won the NCAA. So, he's his own man, and he reminds me of, with the controversy, a lot of Bubba, and we shared Bubba stories. So, it was like polite applause. Okay, yeah, you won, but you know.
We still don't like you.
Right, and, you know, here's a guy who went to Augusta State. Now, if you're a Georgia Bulldog and you get kicked off the team, there's a lot of people who, you know, are, you know, Georgia fans and aren't going to like you. So, but that was my biggest take out of it outside of the play.
Yeah.
And obviously, Sergio.
Yeah.
How did you make 13? I made a 10-footer.
I missed the putt for 12.
Right. No, he made it.
Well, I missed the putt for 12, then he made the putt for 13.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's the joke. But big announcement that I'm really happy with Augusta National. They're going to have that massive women's amateur tournament starting next year with two rounds at a local course and then the final 18 on the Augusta National, the top 72 amateur women. Wonderful.
I wonder if our friend Hollis Kavner didn't have something to do with that in his, you know, 11,000 square foot palatial estate there.
Well, and Condoleezza Rice, you know.
Correct.
Yeah, they're opening. I mean, talk about old school situation down there. They're opening themselves up to, you know, doing more for the game.
Right. Did you see the picture of Avery Zweig on Facebook or on
Twitter with Condoleezza Rice. One of our, she won the long drive contest in the putt, drive, chip, and putt.
Mm-hmm.
And then she posted a picture with Condoleezza Rice, and so I was, and anyway, I was just bringing that up as a point of reference about how cool that is for these kids.
Well, and what, at the women's amateur, the girls growing up, you know, if I get my game good enough, I can go to Augusta. That's a huge, you know, that's a huge cherry to reach for. It's wonderful.
Well, that was my goal for a long time. You know, I got close and got to the Final Four and the Final Eight a couple times. So you never know. If somebody like me can almost get there, anybody can get there.
Well, that's true. Well, get yourself back here, so we'll have you in studio next week. We'd like to thank Bob from Save Hiawatha 18 for helping us out. And Manny, well done. You know, you've been listening to another hour of Golf Talk. And then one last thing. Hey, announcers, don't say that the player's looking to get off to a good start. Who isn't looking to get off to a good start? Yeah, I want to hit it in the trees and whiff like Phil. I don't know. Anyway, watch this weekend. It's going to be good, and we'll talk to you next week on Tee Time.
Get ultimate protection and durability for your painting project at Menards. Get a paint that combines durability and gorgeous color. Dutch Boy's DuraClean Interior Paint and Primer in 1 offers Stay Clean technology, making your home stay beautiful and clean longer. And with Dutch Boy's easy opening smooth pouring container, transforming your home has never been easier. Save big money on Dutch Boy paints and head into Menards to get your paint project started today. Save big.